Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns and Yidinji country. That's BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NIRS, National News Radio Service. Have you seen Yarnup Strong, 1-800-422-416. Now, with the article, Indigenous Women and Intimate Partner Homicide in Australia, confronting the impunity of policing failures, has been published in Current Issues in Criminal Justice and reveals that Indigenous women are more likely to experience violence than any other Australians. Now, with that, I'm going to catch up a yarn there with Sister Professor Kylie Cripps, Monash Indigenous Studies Centre Director. On the line, Professor Kylie, good morning, Sister. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. How are you? I'm good.
Good. Fantastic. Welcome. Thank you for coming to the program. Before we start, Sis, let the mob know who your mob, where you from.
I'm a Palawar girl. I'm originally from Tasmania, but at the present time, I'm in Melbourne on the Kulin Nations.
All right, beautiful. And big shout out to all the First Nations, your mob, and then also down there at Melbourne as well. Look, nothing beats black on black. Congratulations, being a professor, a black one at that. But if you look at these studies here, look, very rare, you'll find a non-Indigenous person doing such a study. We're talking about 151 Indigenous women's deaths, prompting calls for greater accountability. Work needs to be done, and it's great that there's a black person there holding the reins in regard to the research and to push for justice, yes?
Yeah, thank you. I think, you know, it is important that as Aboriginal people that we are involved in studies such as this. You know, it's talking about our mob,
yes.
And it's about respecting the importance of our stories in respect to our experiences of violence. And, you know, these stories are horrific, and they're also stories that, you know, create an opportunity for us to hear the strength and resiliency of our women, but also their families, and to honour and respect both the women that have passed away,
yes.
But also their families, because their families have been part of the fight for justice for these women.
For sure. And when we're talking about 151 Indigenous women's deaths, are we talking domestic violence? Are we talking about the investigation in regard to those deaths? Are not a lot of, meat on the bone. There's not a lot of push and not a lot of work that's being done, that should be done. Is that right?
Yeah, so these are 151 women that were killed by their intimate partner.
Okay.
So these were often fellas that killed their women. And, you know, these were partners that... that for some of these women, they'd been in relationships with these guys for less than a year for 25% of them, up to 10 years for another 22% of them. So, you know, some of these relationships were long-standing. And then the other important thing to note, too, is that a significant number of them were mums. There were approximately 154 children who would have experienced the loss of their mum, and likely their dad, too, had he been the offending parent.
Be going to jail, of course. Exactly.
Yeah.
So they'd be parentless, all children, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And we know from reading these case files too that at least 39 children are recorded to having witnessed the violence and possibly the homicide. So this demonstrates the importance for these children of sustained access to trauma-informed care so that they have the support they need to understand the circumstances that they've witnessed and that they can process the losses that they're experiencing as well.
So, Professor Kiley, since it becomes an avalanche, a snowball effect, we're talking about the loss of a life of a mother, father being in jail, the scarred mentality for our children, and then parentless, and then we're talking foster care, then we're talking children in care. A lot of our elders call that the 21st century stolen generation, and it just creates havoc across the board, doesn't it?
It certainly does, and it is about, you know, how do we look at how we prevent these deaths, and that's part of the reason why I did this study, was to look at first responders, because when we look at first responders, you know, first responders are those ones that, you know, had they been there and provided assistance when our women are called, then
they'd be still with
the
us today.
Opportunity to prevent a death is obvious. And so this paper looks particularly at the patterns of policing and at critical moments. So it looks at calls for domestic violence orders or to men being called out for breaches to those domestic violence orders.
Exactly.
And it's case files. Is that there were consistent failures and consistent moments where it's a bit hard. And then police have second-guessed them and said, do you really want a domestic violence order?
They don't want to do the paperwork. That's what it seems like.
Yeah, and that's what led, I think, to one coroner who had examined 18% or nearly 18% of the inquests and investigations into the deaths of these women. He said that what he was investigation, but you know, when you look at it, the only explanation or excuse offered to us for the failures and mistakes in these cases are that they are the result of incompetence and misjudgment. And he goes on to say, or to quote, incompetence does not, without more, become discrimination.
Exactly.
But mere incompetence cannot of itself account for the whole catalogue of failures, mistakes, misjudgments, and lack of direction and control, which bedevils these cases.
Mm.
And he says if it's not institutional racism, then perhaps it's lazy policing, just trying to find the easiest way to wind up an investigation, or perhaps it's cultural ignorance. These are profound statements to domestic and family violence, similar statements around systemic racism and sexism and misogyny.
Well, if the shoe fits, if the shoe fits, Professor. And I was just going to say to our deadly listeners out there, just tuned in, Professor Kiley Cribbs, having a yarn here with Trendy Trev. Professor Kiley is Monash Indigenous Studies Centre Director and talking about the systematic racism embedded in Aboriginal women. 151 Indigenous women deaths, prompting calls for greater accountability for authorities in responding to domestic and family violence. And with the findings, Professor, what do you do with these findings? Who do you take this to? To what ministers? Action needs to be done here at the high level and not just at the respondents, first contact.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we need to learn from these women's deaths. You know, these women's lives matter to all of us, but especially to their families.
Yes.
And we honour their memories by doing all we can to improve these systems, the institutional cultures and the societal attitudes that failed to hear them and their cries for help. And so this article is the first of several that will come out engaging with their stories that are embedded in these coronial records. And my hope is that people will engage with them, that it will contribute to the Senate inquiry that is taking place into missing and murdered Indigenous women and children.
Mm-hmm.
But further to that, the police and other institutions will engage with this material.
Yes.
And they will critically reflect on what is needed in terms of improving their accountability. And in addition to that we also think more systematically about how we're going to produce accountability with oversight structures. So I'm urging Australia to sign up to the UN Global Femicide Watch Initiative so that it's not just us or our governments oversighting our practices, but we also have international oversight, and that additional scrutiny might help us to adopt new practices and opportunities to improve our systems for the better.
Yeah, true that. Professor Kiley, thank you so very much. Very important findings need to be acted upon, and this information needs to go to the right authorities to prevent all this from happening. 151 is too many. 151, too many. Thank you very much for your yarn. Great work of what you're doing there, sister. So, so very important. And speaking for the, well, the unspoken and the innocent, the people who can't speak, women and children who can't speak.
Thank you.
I thank you very much for your yarn. Please do keep in touch. All the best. You stay warm, Kiley.
And
we'll yarn soon, sister.
Yeah, we will. Thank you so much, Trevor.
Bye-bye. Beautiful yarn, sad yarn. Professor Kiley Cribbs, Monash Indigenous Studies Centre Director, and talking about the studies and the findings in regard to systematic racism with Australia's justice system is linked to 151 Indigenous women's deaths, prompting calls for greater accountability of authorities in responding to domestic and family violence. We need to stamp it out. We need to act on it, and that's 151 too many, as I mentioned, and condolences going out to our families who've lost loved ones due to domestic violence, and we need to be strong together as a community, mob. Stay tuned. Add to the conversation here. National Talk Black. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416.
beginning. Struggling could be rough, but I'm climbing just a little bit. I've been through it all. I'm coming at you all different. We're making the right decisions and painting you all a vision. So I gotta thank the Lord for handing out my blessings. It's time to be known while the good ones go to heaven. Cause you know what's got me lost. I come from where I'm fitting in me. I'm a witch, legitimate, indigenous from being innocent.
We brought the love generation. I drink the stories of cherish and I land. It's still strong from the island to the mainland. That culture remains sacred. If Captain James Cook didn't invade it, we would have been way more dangerous to say. And ever since the First Nation, I wanted to get the debt to explore my own country before I go to other places. So one love forever, a black nation. The bullet me pulling us up because we got no way to tame it. We can never get no justice because they're too busy throwing them up away. Taking the faded to the station, writing lies in the papers. The world has got you twisted and going in a rotation. I've been trying to embrace it.
We had to make a way back up and start from the beginning. Struggling could be rough, but I'm climbing just a little bit. And I've been through it all. I'm coming at you a different. We're making the right decisions and painting you all a vision. So I gotta thank the Lord for handing out my blessings. It's time to be known while the good ones go to heaven. Cause you know what's got me lost. I come close where I'm fitting in me. I'm a witch, legitimate, indigenous from being insane. I'm looking for my land and my people. Looking for my blood and my clan and my people. Pressure made diamonds, got demands for my people. I can see why you mad. You don't fit the description and you made us sis. What you think I did? Who you think I am? Cause you see me walking proudly. I'ma flaunt my skin like my ancestors did and my kids still do. Do I have to make the message any more clear for you? We ain't going anywhere, we ain't making a move. Full notice all these young and youth. They be running these streets, yelling FTP. Running, yelling at you, can't catch
me. We had to make a way back up and start from the beginning. Struggling could be rough, but I'm climbing just a little bit. And I've been through it all, I'm coming at you all different. We're making the right decisions and painting you all a vision. So I gotta thank the Lord for handing out my blessings. It's time to be known while the good ones go to heaven. Cause you know what's got me lost. I come close, where am I fitting in me? I'm a witch, legitimate, indigenous from being
I wanna make a change from a race. Be a voice on Malcolm X and put them in their place. These white followers look at me like I'm a bloody disgrace. Filled with the hate. I know you don't like me cause I'm a black race. Cause at the end of the day, this is a place we could be mates instead of enemy of the states. Like Jedi trying to control, she better feel well and doing it all for the rest. Just stay in your place, you wanna be rude about her coach G. Just know that black doesn't crack, and as a matter of fact, this is the way that it's supposed to be.
We had to make a way back up and start from the beginning. Struggling could be rough, but I'm climbing just a little bit. And I've been through it all, I'm coming at you a different. From making the right decisions and painting you all a vision. So I gotta thank the Lord for handing out my blessings. It's time to be known while the good ones go to heaven. Cause you know what's got me lost. I'm close, where am I fitting in me? I'm a witch, legitimate, indigenous from being in CNN.
Oh, no, no. Oh, no.
Hey, Mob, it's Jessica Malvoy, and you're tuned into National Talk Black, Trevor Tim, Trendy Turf, Murray from the Curry via BBM 98.7 FM, also NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service.
Hurry! Hey, what get on your mob? It's me, Bush Tucker Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black, have your say in Yarn Up Strong. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Call the number, Yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, 2012 Murray from the Curry. Coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumper Bip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Now, TAFE Queensland graduate Jessica Addo wants to break down barriers to ensure Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children experience positive learning environments. Ms Addo, 30, gained a diploma of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander education at the TAFE Queensland campus here in Cairns via RATAP. So with that, going to have a yarn with our deadly sister Jessica on the line. Jessica, good morning. How are you, sis?
Good morning. Good, thank you.
Good. Thank you for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from, sis.
Yeah, I'm Jessica Addo from here, Cairns, and connections through to Yarrabah, and my father's side from Mornington Island.
Mornington Island, beautiful. Well, big shout out, Addo mob. There's a big mob of Addos here in Cairns. Matt Addo, like Smith Black version. Addos everywhere. And big shout out to Annie Evelyn, who I had a coffee with over at Yarri last week, and also caught up there with daughter and son. But look, congratulations. So you're also a regional Queensland training award finalist.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, yeah.
Too deadly. So tell us about your passion in regarding for learning, but also helping our young ones, your Diploma of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Education, please.
You know, I've come across a lot of kids that I've seen that you can tell they have it tough in their personal lives, and that was one of the main reasons why I chose to take the teaching pathway to help children, you know, who probably don't have it so easy. That was one of my main reasons why, and I actually really enjoy it. I love connecting with the kids and their families, and, yeah, it's gone really good so far.
It's early childhood education program, is that right?
It's preschool to grade 6.
Okay. So, qualified, you finished your training, your education, have you?
Yes. So I started off with a Certificate 4 in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander education. It's like equivalent to teacher aid.
Okay.
And then after that, I did my diploma. And I just finished the diploma last year, and now I'm actually in uni now.
You're in uni. All right, good. And where are you studying? At
JCU,
Cairns campus.
Yeah.
Too deadly. So how long will that take for your qualification?
Well, because of all the study I've already done, it's given me a lot of credit. So
good.
I'm probably due to finish in 3 years' time. So if I just keep going at it.
Yes.
Because I've just almost finished semester one. So
congratulations.
Yeah.
Well, too deadly. I always say we need more black successes out there, not only on the football field. So congratulations, my sister. Enjoy the journey, head up, butt down. But also paint the picture in regard to, well, your vision, your future. And then you look at your family members or you look at other First Nation young ones. If she can do it, I can do it too. It creates a nice pathway, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, that's why that RATEP program is really good. They helped me all the way. So they're through, Cairns TAFE and Department of Education.
Well, fantastic. Congratulations, TAFE, and making this this program through RATAP, and that's the program you went through. It creates a nice atmosphere, a strong foundation, doesn't it?
Yeah, because when you finish your TAFE, they also support you with your degree when you finish, when you go into uni. Yeah, it's a whole program that takes you into uni.
So they support you all the way through?
Yeah, so RATAP is a program. It's like a partnership with JCU, Cairns TAFE, and Townsville TAFE. Yeah, and Department of Education, and they support you all the way through to your finish. And there's also scholarship opportunities as well, like the Pearl Duncan is really good. Yeah.
Well, big shout out to stakeholders at the table. So there's a group of organisations working together to help success for young ones who want to further their education. It's a beautiful vehicle, isn't it?
Yeah, it's life-changing. I've gotten a good job just out of it. I'm now a manager in an OSH service. so yeah, it takes you a long way.
Too deadly, my sister. Too deadly. So you got brothers and sisters that have been through uni?
I think I'm the first one out of
my
siblings.
There you go. Good. Good. Leading from the
yeah,
front.
Yeah, I am.
Big note in yourself, sister. You're too deadly, and so I'm proud of you. Congratulations, and want to be in touch, please, in your journey. And like I said, we need more black successes. You are leading from the front, my sister. Just keep doing what you're doing, and too deadly. Big shout out to the Addo family, my sister.
Thank you. You have a great day.
You take care. Bye bye.
Bye.
Too deadly. Success breeds success. And that's Jessica Jessica Addo, 30 years old, gained a Diploma of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Education at TAFE, Queensland Cairns campus via RATEP organisation. Fantastic. Community-based education and early childhood education program designed to provide a direct pathway for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people to become registered teachers, qualified teachers, aides, or early childhood educators. And they hold your hand, sounds kinky, and they support you all through your education until you get to the end and qualify. So look, that's a fantastic program, and a big shout out to Cairns TAFE, TAFE Queensland, to making this happen. And they've got a slogan there, make great happen, and that's exactly what they're doing. They're making great happen. So too deadly, have you seen Yarn Up Strong? 1-800-422-416.
I've seen you grow up, a lovely Murray girl. But now you're a woman with not a care in the world. And I love you, my sister, my deadly sister girl. Show us what you made of, 'cause you're a diamond amongst pearls. And you're too deadly, my sister. You're too deadly, sister girl. 'Cause you're my kind of sister. You're the best one in this world. And you're too deadly, my sister. You're too deadly, sister girl. And I love you, my sister. Stand. Well, you may find it tough in the many years to come, but just hold your head high and remember where you come from. Just remember, 'cause you'll always have family. Don't be frightened, never be. No, no, 'cause your precious family, they will always hold you dear. You're too deadly, sister girl. 'Cause you're my kind of sister. You're the best one in this world. And you're too deadly, my sister. You're too deadly, sister girl. And I love you, my sister. Stand proud, my Murray girl. Whoa. Now, don't be shy, my sister. Just stand up and speak your mind. But you were there for me, my sister, when times were tough, they were tough. You're too deadly, my sister. You're too deadly, sister girl. 'Cause you're my kind of sister. You're the best one in this world. And you're too deadly, my sister. You're too deadly, sister girl. And I love you, my sister. Stand proud, my mother.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trek.
1-800-422-416.
It's your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your saying, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Call the number, Yarn, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Yidinji Country, BBM, Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM, and go across the country thanks to the NERS, National Radio Service. Give us a call, 1-800-422-416. Now, Australians want to see more government support for the stolen generations against the backdrop of Sorry Day. Research released today by Caritas Australia shows that two-thirds of Australians believe it is important for federal government to address the legacy of the stolen generation. The sentiment is even stronger amongst younger Australians, with 82% of 18 to 34-year-olds believing that addressing the legacy is important. And the time is now to address the legacy. Our stolen generation are getting older, and we must listen and learn from them in order to heal as a nation. With that, we're going to catch up a yarn with Christine Ruzzi, First Australian Programs Association Director. And on the line, we have Christine. Christine, good morning. How are you?
Not too bad, thank you.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, sister, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Oh, look, I'm Yamaji from Western Australia.
Okay.
I've been throughout WA, Queensland. I used to live in Cairns.
Okay, good, yes.
And throughout the far north there.
Good.
And now located in Darwin with on Larrakia land.
Beautiful. And big shout out to the mob there, Larrakia. Thank you very much for coming to the program. So Australians want to see more government support for the stolen generations. And look, well, stolen generations are getting older, and if not, passing on. So they need to act now. And to me, sometimes it feels they're like, well, they're not acting. It's like, wait till they all pass and then we can just move on.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, sad.
I think, you know, the recent polls have very much indicated that two-thirds of Australians think that it's really important for the federal government to address the legacy of stolen generations. And you know, interesting also that the younger generations feel more strongly about this, with 79% of Gen Z and millennials who think it's really important.
Well, sister, when you look at, we are, as First Nation people, we are storytellers. So our elders have passed on the stories, and the good stories and the bad stories and the atrocities, how we were treated, how they were treated, and we still carry that. And there's the generational trauma as well, you know. And if they're not acting on stolen generation, it still cuts to the bone for our younger ones.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, we had a beautiful event the other week with one of our partners, the uncles of Kinchella Boys Home, out of Kempsey, and we invited them to tell their stories. And it's what they say, the most important part is about telling your story and, you know, explaining what happened and sharing what happened, their experiences. And I believe that from, you know, I believe that by telling our story each time, we're actually able to help ourselves heal.
Yes.
You know, that by sharing it to our mob, sharing it to others, and, you know, the Kinchella Boys Home, Aboriginal Corporation, you know, they travelled this year for the 15th anniversary of the apology down to Canberra.
Yes.
You know, and I think it's still in the shadows.
Of course there is.
There's kind of not enough. They're screaming out for the support, you know, and it's not just for Kinchella, it's for all of the stolen generation.
Of course, exactly. And we as First Nation people, we feel sometimes we're hearing or the attitude of build a bridge, get over it, you know. It's in the past, leave it in the past, you know. Move on. But Australia's got a history, good or bad, black or white. But the history needs
Absolutely.
To be told, and they need to own it. The government, Australia needs to own its history, black and white, good and bad.
Absolutely, Trevor. And, you know, I think I've been approached on a number of times throughout just having conversations with a range of different people. And it's kind of like, well, I didn't do it.
Exactly, yes.
You know, it wasn't me that was responsible.
Yeah, but
you know, I kind of explain around the, you know, the intergenerational trauma that not only happened to the people of the stolen generation, but it was through all the effects of colonization that their parents, their grandparents, which affected their growing up and then having to grow up in the missions or homes or those kind of things. And then, you know, they refer to themselves, the uncles, as being, you know, and as everyone most likely would do, as being kidnapped. You know, their physical hardship, their punishment that they had to endure, the cruelty, the abuse, physical, psychological and sexual.
Mental, and spiritual and all the above. And they carry that for the whole of their life. And if not acknowledged, I mean, when we're talking about apology, when we're talking about serious apology, when we're talking about recognition and acknowledgement, that is good medicine.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So a lot of work still to be done.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the polls also kind of indicated around that, you know, two-thirds of Australians feel that the government needs to provide this, you know, and more support to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities when it comes to health issues. Like, closing the gap is such a large talking point, and, you know, there's more need also for education when it also comes to the stolen generation. It's a part of the history, as you've just said.
Yes.
And, you know, back when I went to school, we just learnt, you know, the norms of colonialism.
Captain Cook, the white sails.
And settlement.
Yes.
And the settlement,
exactly.
You know, rather than, you know, what actually happened and the stories of that, you know, the massacres, the removals, the policies and all of that. So I think, yes, it is. And, you know, working in the field of community development, we actually address a lot of issues that affect Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people and here at Caritas Australia. And our partners, their programs include areas of cultural experience, art, tourism, cultural healing and safeguarding, suicide, Aboriginal-led carbon sequestration and verification, women's, children's and youth and youth justice programs. You know, and it's by our partners, our communities from the grassroots, telling stories and educating and keeping people aware and informing them of the issues that actually affect us.
Exactly.
We have the answers.
Of course we
deal with this.
And it shouldn't only come from states and territories. It's got to come from federal government down and across the country. Yes.
Yep. And I think, you know, the movement around, you know, the closing the gap targets, we're still failing. You know, the government is still failing to appropriately, you know, basically fund those correct areas or the areas that most need it. And, you know, as we've been doing for quite some time, many years, been crying out for that support. And, you know, we've support the Voice here at Caritas Australia, and, you know, we encourage everybody to inform themselves, educate themselves on what it is, and, you know, the referendum and how this can help them to make an informed decision based on their morals and values. The important thing is around it is that it will make a difference.
It's
not a quick fix.
No, it's not.
But it's a step in the right direction. It's a part of the foundation to moving towards, you know, movement for us, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, to have a voice.
And that foundation you're talking about, that's part of closing the gap as well. You know what I mean? In all aspects of First Nation life and living in this country, on country, you know?
Yeah.
So still a lot of work to be done.
Absolutely.
Christine, thank you very much for yarning. Can you tell us a bit about Caritas Australia, please?
Yeah. Look, we're actually an international humanitarian aid and development organisation.
Okay.
And my role is Associate Director for the First Australians Program. So yes. I look after the Australian partners. We have two in the Northern Territory, four in New South Wales, and one in South Australia. So from a point of an international, we've been around for quite some time. I think we're celebrating our 60th birthday next year.
Okay.
And the First Australian Program has been around since 1972. So we've also been around for quite some time in the organisation. And we've had a range of different various partners. And I think our objective is about, you know, creating the right environment with our partners, working with our partners in a culturally safe way, being able to give them the opportunity to work with their communities by funding their programs and what they look to put on the ground once they've, you know, through consultation with their communities, and then, you know, being able to sit down with the mob and kind of work on what's going to work for them.
Exactly. And it's from the inside out, isn't it? It's what I'm picking up, you know. You'll go to a community, as you spoke earlier. Well, we all know that we've got the answers to the problems. We've got the solutions, but it's got to come from the inside out, not someone coming in with the so-called action and what we need to be doing and toeing the line.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Totally. And, you know, that's the bad taste in the mouth that many have had over the years, is that it's been really bad business throughout history.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what has happened. And I think, you know, there are slow steps towards the acknowledgement that there needs to be more conversation, more yarns with the people.
Yes.
Because, yeah, like I say, they know what's the best way of doing it, and they, meaning governments and organisations, etc., also have to acknowledge our ways of knowing, doing, working, and talking.
Yes.
You know, we talk about things differently. We see it, and they need to acknowledge we've got a First Australian lens. We've got how we can see it working best. And
exactly.
I think that's kind of changing. Hopefully it'll be, you know, more so with in the event of successful voice campaign and the referendum.
And as mentioned earlier, Christy, when you look at the sentiment is even stronger among younger Australians, with 82% of 18 to 34-year-olds believing that addressing legacy is important. And plus, our stolen generations are getting older and sadly dying out. So we need to act now. Act now.
Yeah, and I think, you know, just to say that, you know, Kinchella have highlighted how they're working on the healing aspect, you know, putting together programs now that not only for the uncles but for their immediate families, their extended families.
Yes.
Because of what their pains are, have also and do also affect, you know, their families, their younger generations, their children and
there's
and
a generational trauma. There's the generational trauma.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right. And, you know, I think it's good. Kinchella, our partner, has a school program. They do go into schools. The uncles take the bus. They've got all the information. They go in and share their stories.
And the stories need to be told, sister. The stories need to be told. And that's part of the
healing.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, totally. You know, and the children actually, when talking to the uncles the other week, you know, they really appreciate it.
Good.
And, you know, basically never heard of it, you know. And that's the sadness about it, is that but they're wanting to know more, and, you know, we encourage more for it to be, you know, included in that education. You know, truth-telling, you know, that's what we need to do.
Exactly.
That's what needs to happen.
Well, we're having a yarn here, my sister, keeping it alive, and government needs to act, and here we are on National Talk Black and continuing that that yarn. The yarning circle's got to go wider, it's got to go bigger, it's got to have action behind it as well. Christine, thank you very much, my sister. Listen, all
no
the
worries.
Best, and big shout out to Mob Deer up there, Darwin, and we'll yarn soon, sister.
No worries. Thanks,
Trevor. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Deadly yarn there. That's Christine Ruzzi and First Nations Programs Associate Director with Caritas Australia, and just working on, well, talking about the time is now to address this legacy, and our stolen generations are getting older, and we must listen and learn from them in order to heal as a nation. Australians want to see more government support for the stolen generation, and we sound like a broken record, don't we? Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. Go to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.